Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Well, that's a bit of a bombshell. I'm looking at Fox Business, and it says Boeing may halt production of the 737 MAX. And the stock has taken a hit. That's kind of interesting. I thought you could fix software problems, right? Yeah, that's what you get with technology, folks. It's good and bad. Hey, welcome, everybody, to Political Coffee, because, yeah, you know, technology, it plays a role in politics, too. We talk about the political issues of the day and how you can use them to change your world. The whole point of this show. And I hopefully am able to help you recognize those opportunities and how you can use the political issues of the day to engage the persuadable individuals in conversation. Like this story today about the cap and trade plan receives a makeover. The new plan is going to spare the rural areas. No, it won't, folks. We're going to talk a little bit about that. In fact, there's an interesting piece by Dr. Eric Fruits. He's an economist, well-known. He works with Cascade Policy Institute now, which is Oregon's only free market think tank in this state. He wrote a piece about why cap and trade can't be tweaked. Yeah, it's the pain rather than the gain that is real. And it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to make it bad. Also, this is obviously the week of impeachment, right? We know the House is, Nancy Pelosi has scheduled an impeachment vote, and Donald Trump will be impeached. So let me ask you a question. And this is something that I've started researching and really at the request of my activist writing friend Scott Rotor, who we have on the show from time to time. And he called me up the other day and said, you know, you really ought to talk about what are the real pros and cons of not impeachment, but of a long or a short Senate trial. Now, I'm a little bit predisposed to kind of be like Trump thinks in that I think a long Senate trial is good for Trump. But I think it's really even, and this was Scott's point to me, it's really better for the nation in the long run. So let's talk a little bit about that. What do you think it ought to be? Look, Trump's going to be impeached, folks. There's no question about it. In fact, last night at dinner, I had dinner with my old friend, Ted Hughes, who is the longest serving lobbyist in the state of Oregon by far now. And Teddy's health isn't the greatest, but he's still lobbying, folks. And I admire that. I admire it a lot. Now, Ted and I are having dinner at the Salem Golf Club last night. It's one of our favorite haunts. We used to play a lot of golf there. And, you know, Ted can't play golf much these days, and I'm living down south on the family farm, so it's tougher to go do that. But anyway, we're there last night, and, of course, me being the boisterous radio voice kind of guy, yeah, there's a couple sitting at the bar, and this her husband got up and walked to the restroom, and the lady turns around and says, excuse me, you were talking about Trump, and she was, we had a conversation about it, and she's not a Trump person, but she said she's, you know, kind of willing to consider other things. Okay, that's fair. She's actually one of these persuadable people. Even though she's in very much against Trump, okay? All right, fair enough. She still is a persuadable person on other issues. And this, friends, is the opportunity. Cap and trade is a great example of that. It's an opportunity to talk about the pros and cons of cap and trade and what it does, what it doesn't do. But to do that again from an emotional perspective, because today that's how people think. Even older generations of Americans, and I'm rapidly getting into that category, We are thinking more and more as we go through life and we observe media and everything that's going on. We're thinking more and more from an emotional kind of a level. I just present for you this crazy story about how the Hallmark Channel, right? The Hallmark Channel. They have all these wonderful, clean family movies. Well, they were going to be running same-sex marriage ads. And then a lot of people said, no, we don't like that. There's a lot of families. More traditional Americans watch the Hallmark Channel. I know that my former wife watched it a lot, especially during Christmas time, because they really are good movies. It's better than so much more of the garbage that's out there. Well, they've reversed themselves. They said they were not going to run the same-sex marriage ads, and somebody got to them. Now, this is likely social media, and they probably got to them on the emotional arguments. It's unfair. You can't do this. It's wrong. It's discriminatory. So people respond to emotion, even older people. So if you're going to talk about cap and trade and its devastating impacts ultimately, you're going to have to do it from an emotional viewpoint. Now, that includes the fairness issue. Now, this is one of the areas that I have disagreed with Rush on, and I will continue to disagree with him on. He thinks you can still make the argument on its merits. No, you can't. You have to make the argument based at least in part on fairness. Because fairness is, frankly, is a human point of view, folks. Fairness is as timeless as it is your, it's a human reaction. It's an emotional reaction. It's as timeless as liberty is. Your right to say and think anything you want to think. So my point about Rush is that when you're talking about cap and trade, you're talking about any of these things that are really important. And right now, cap and trade, this new plan is 64 pages, and they're going to introduce it in the February session, which is only a 35-day session. And so far, the initial reaction is nobody likes it. And I'll tell you why. In fact, the Republicans hadn't even been involved in discussion, at least according to Herman Bertziger, who's the Republican leader in the Senate. It is only the camel with the nose under the tent, folks. That's all this is. It is nothing. That's all you need to know about it, because it is smoke and mirrors. This is just a ruse to buy off the rural people, to buy off Timber Unity. Now, this is a testimony. I'm quite serious. You should never underestimate Kate Brown, folks. Never underestimate the left. They never stop. Here's what they know. This is the reason this is smoke and mirrors. They know that if they can just get the policy in place, it will never be changed. And in fact, it'll be expanded down the road. Now, the headline here in the Oregon Capital Bureau by Claire Withicom is Cap and Trade Plan Receives Makeover. New plan spares the rural areas. No, it doesn't. It only temporarily lessens the negative impact. There's still going to be a negative impact in the rural areas. It only temporarily does it. There's nothing to this, folks. Now, they say that they're disconnecting from the cap and trade system that has been put in place in Canada and California. This new one isn't going to do anything about that. Wrong-o. Oh, yeah, temporarily they are. But again, all they're trying to do is to get the policy in place. And then down the road, when, of course, it makes no difference, they're going to say, they're going to use that and say, we've got to expand it now. We've got to got to expand it to those rural areas. Oh, and that slush fund, the slush fund can't be used anymore to buy off people in the rural areas. And now that so-called the money that is going to come from this is going to be administered by a government bureaucracy. Oh, goody. And who appoints the government bureaucracy? It's the Department of Environmental Quality. Kate Brown does. She runs it. Folks, this is only smoke and mirrors. All right, what do you think about that? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. We need to go to the phones, and I will start first with Ron. Ron, good morning. What do you think?
I'm going to tell you straight up, my friend. Number one, I'm using an example from my other father in California. He's going to get rid of three trucks. Number two, it's a Ponzi scheme, money scam. They got $28 billion last year. But you know, $1.4 billion went to the province of Quebec. In Canada, they put their land up in the carbon exchange with California. Why should the ratepayers, why should the working class, and the tens, the hundreds of thousands of homeless that is working class, $40 an hour or less, poverty is $102,000 in Orange County in California. I can't get a fine enough house or too expensive because the utility rates is high. The main point is this. Cap and trade does not work. It creates homelessness. Is this discriminatory against minority getting into small businesses? It's affecting my daughter's father with a bee business. He's got to lay off three people. That's $140,000. Plus lost income around next $80,000. And he's got to pay 20%. While you figure registration fees and everything else, the whole thing is this. It's going to roll into, instead of your $112 a year every 2 years for registration of vehicles, they're going to be discriminatory in what you can drive. They're going to tell you if you're on a diesel rig or a gas rig before 2013. You're not going to be able to run it in that state if it's 2008 or older. So my question is this. You look at how many tens of thousands of dump trucks, excavation equipment, power cranes. They don't have Jeff in their vehicles. And number three, the high cost of fuel. The utility rates that increase double than Oregon standards at 14 to 15 cents a kilowatt hour and get penalized. They don't mention those things, do they? Because they want to control common man feelings. And the ones that can get afford it, they can afford it. And they get the buyout through the exemptions, carve outs like they've done. And when you really want to know, if you want to get down to it, just like I talked to Bessie Johnson, which I'm going to mention, it is very discriminatory to minorities that want to get in a small business. Because instead of me, if I want to go into the business with 35,000 up to 100, 200 hives, for me to have a truck to run the business, it will cost me an extra $40,000 to start off the ground for a vehicle, not $10,000. Let's look at the real numbers, people. It's a multi-billion dollar
Ponzi scheme.
Gotta
go to break. Appreciate you calling, brother. Back to the
show.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour, so what do you think? 503-589-1220. Can cap and trade be tweaked? What's the pain versus the gain? Now, we know the gain is virtually nothing in the overall scheme of worldwide greenhouse gas emissions and man-made global warming, which isn't happening. But in the overall scheme, what we would do in Oregon is absolutely nothing. It would make no difference. That's been brought out in the hearings that happened previously. Now, they've tweaked this. This is the story today. And by the way, emails, if you want to send me an email about this, It's Jeff at 1220.am. The other thing we're talking about is if you think what you think would be the pros and cons of a long Senate trial versus a short one. What do you think? 503-589-1220. I'm talking about the impeachment trial of Donald Trump because it is he's going to be impeached this week, folks. So the emotional argument is one of the things that Ron just made about cap and trade. Here's why, first of all, it can't be tweaked because overall, if you're going to create a slush fund and it doesn't matter who administers it, whether it's a special group, which this plan, the tweaked plan, doesn't call for a special group, it calls for the bureaucrats at the Department of Environmental Quality to still create. You don't create money out of thin air. You create it by taxing things, making things more expensive. That money is going to be distributed somewhere, somehow, some way, by somebody. Well, in this case, this particular idea, it's the bureaucrats at DEQ. Who runs the DEQ? A Kate Brown appointee. What do you suppose is going to happen there? This is also smoke and mirrors, folks, because even Michael Dembrow, the uber lefty, you know, when I was serving in the legislature, this guy was an activist, a leftist activist for every leftist crazy idea you could imagine. Now he's a state senator. He's the author of this pile of human debris. So he admits that what he's doing here is not what the headline said. The headline says it spares rural areas. No. It only delays the pain. He's quoted in the story as saying, quote, so delaying the implementation for the most rural parts of the state is an acknowledgement that we're trying to address those concerns, unquote. So they're only delaying it, folks. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Now, let me also say this. What is it that they're saying they're trying to address? It's the emotional argument. This idea is unfair because it is going to disproportionately hurt people in rural areas, which already are hurting and have never recovered from the spotted owl crisis. It's the impact on gas prices, folks. And that's what's led, and all the things that Ron just articulated that is happening in California today, folks. The cost of fuel in California is skyrocketing, and here's why. The lie of this thing, that this whole concept, is that it's going to create a better environment for our children. That's that emotional argument. The counter-emotional argument is it's going to make no difference whatsoever in the future of our children. You know why? Because it, in the again, under official testimony and estimates of the state of Oregon, it will barely make any perceptible change at all worldwide in the greenhouse gas emissions. But here's what it will do. It's not fair because it's going to hurt people who work the land, who log. And you know what? You still have to have wood to build houses. And people like me, that is a fifth-generation Oregon farmer, we live in rural areas. Ranchers who provide the meat when you go out to a steakhouse. You guys getting where I'm coming from here when it comes to the emotional argument? It's not fair. And those are examples that you can share with people. Now, again, your goal is to be persuadable with people. The fairness argument is fundamental in human relationships, isn't it? You know it is. You know how you react when, well, somebody maybe at work or something, some policy that the politicians vote for is unfair or is perceived as being unfair. You don't like it. Now, government can't cure everything that's fair, but the worst thing government can do is to create greater unfairness. And especially in using an emotional argument that is based on a lie. Mankind is not changing the Earth's climate, folks. You know, all you have to do is look at the actual history of the world and you can figure that out. But no matter, folks, what's happening in California from their cap and trade plan is it is ratcheting up over time. And that's exactly what this plan does. It's the same thing. Initially, they make it sound so wonderful and that it's not going to hurt that bad. But over time, as it ratchets up, it becomes devastating. And it's driving, as Ron articulated, he's got relatives in California that are paying the price for this. It will damage rural areas of the state that have never recovered from the spotted owl crisis and other things. Now, that's not only unfair, but it violates a central principle of governance, and that is do no harm. No politician wants to be accused of hurting somebody, right? That's another emotional argument. Now, the fact that they are tweaking this thing, and again, it's just the camel with the nose under the tent, folks. The fact that they're tweaking it is a testament to the power of the unfairness argument. The power of timber units. And all this is trying to buy off the rural area. Do you believe it? Is it possible to tweak it? Is the pain worth the gain? What do you think? 503-589-1220. Email to Jeff at 1220.am. It is 6:30. Back in the room.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
After all, if you're the Trump campaign, if you're confident in your arguments, and you've done nothing wrong here, and personally, I don't think they have in any way, I think if you're confident in those arguments, then you let everybody testify that you want to allow to be testified. Like Schumer's calling for Mulvaney and John Bolton. Okay, who cares? Let them testify. If you're confident in your arguments, you would want them to testify and draw it out as long as you can. By the way, I just saw that Jim Comey is saying, well, maybe he shouldn't have been so confident. He was overconfident in his FISA comments. Yeah. You better lawyer up, buddy, because you're going to jail, and you should. Also, cap and trade. We're also talking about that. The new proposal is just the camel with the nose under the tent, folks. It supposedly spares the rural areas. It doesn't. It just delays it. When they get this policy in place, and it is a 60-page bill, folks, and they're intending to try to run it through the February session of the legislature in 5 weeks. It's huge. It will alter the landscape of Oregon forever. Because once they get it in place, no matter how they do it, try to lessen its impact, they will eventually down the road expand it. And it'll take a simple vote to do it. And Republicans won't be able to stop it. So how should Republicans deal with it? 503-589-1220, 503-589-1220. Let's go to the phones. We have a new caller. Caller, good morning. Who are you, and what do you have to say?
Wait a minute, Jeff. Are you talking to me?
Good morning, caller.
Jeff?
Can't hear you. Well, then I guess we'll go on. Producer Phil, if you can figure out why we can't talk to our caller, that'd be great. Now, let me just talk for a moment about nobody is liking this idea so far of cap and trade. The story is, this is actually out of the Corvallis Gazette Times, but if you go to OregonWatchdog.com, you can read it. And I got to tell you, the folks that put forward the idea to begin with, Renew Oregon, they say that it's only a starting point. That's your first red flag, folks. When anybody says it's a starting point for negotiations, you know what they mean. What they mean is that they're going to negotiate for something stronger, and then you will expand it down the road. Now, they don't like it. They can't support it. The unions don't like it and don't support it. The AFL-CIO is quoted in this argument because they know that it's going to disproportionately negatively impact whole communities, whole industries. Now, this is the AFL-CIO. They're adamantly against it. So, what do you think? If this is a bad policy that no matter how you tweak it, the result is going to be somebody's going to pay more money. And who is it going to impact? That's that fairness argument, right? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Let's go to our new caller. We do have our new caller. Good morning. And who are you and what do you have to say today?
Jeff, I'm not new. It's Art.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Can't hear you. Okay. Producer Phil, got to figure out what's going on here. All right. So the spokesman for the AFL-CIO said any climate action that leaves behind workers and communities disproportionately impacted by the effects of climate change is a policy and a process that should be rejected. Okay, fair enough. This is a stunning admission, first of all, even by the sponsors of this legislation, that it is going to hurt somebody. Now, that's an argument that you can use, friends. Why would government put in place any policy that hurts people? And again, it goes back to the pain versus the gain. The reality is that the gain out of this is so tiny. In the end, it makes no difference. Because this is not going to impact what China or India does. They are still building new coal plants. It doesn't matter how many electric vehicles we buy or subsidize, frankly. None of it's going to make any difference as long as the entire world. Okay? All right, let's try the caller again. Good morning. I am
Jeff,
checking.
Can you hear me?
The headset here to make sure that I'm good to go. Art, Jeff. Are you there? Art?
Jeff, can you hear me?
No, we can't hear him.
Jeff.
Well, we'll get it figured out, friends. 503-589-1220. I don't know if it's him or it's me. We'll try to figure this out. You can always send me an email to jeff at 1220.am. By the way, I want to thank Avis for sending me an interesting email. There's a patch that you can buy, folks. It is a patch that, you know, like an American flag patch or a military unit patch that you put on your arm. Well, this one is, it's kind of different. It's the BS Shield patch. And it's, you know what BS stands for, right? Well, I can't hear him, and I don't know why that is, Phil. Apparently, he's talking, but I can't hear him. I don't know what's going on there. So at any rate, it's a BS shield. It's a patch that you can buy. And it's, if you go to the website, it's bullsshields.com. Bull S, the word. Yeah, I'm not going to say it, but you know what? It's that four-letter word. Begins with an X, S rather. Bull, BS, shields, right? Bull. Anyway, it's got a picture of a bull. And he's looking at you and he says, "You talking to me?" And they're only $12.99, and it's a cool patch. It really is. It's the bull S shield patch, and it's got a bull's face with a, you know, that circle with the line through it, right? And lots of great customer reviews. Oh my goodness. Now, if you walked around wearing that, that would definitely get you some comments, wouldn't it? I think it would. Avis also asked me, can you define? Said, all right, Jeff, can you tell me in today's logic, what's the difference between a socialist and a progressive in the USA or in Oregon? A friend said she thought Republicans were progressive. I said they seem one and the same to me. And I don't know either. Well, so no. Generally, the Republican Party is the opposite of the Democrat Party in what is considered to be progressivism. Progressivism, folks, is nothing more than warmed over, rebranded socialism. Because if you look at all the things that the progressives are putting forward, things like cap and trade policy, things like a sales tax, seems, you know, the idea that you have to tax people more, make government bigger, so that you can make life better for people. That idea is what progressives believe and Republicans don't. In fact, we generally believe just the opposite of that. We generally believe the government ought to leave us alone, that less regulation is better. Now, that's the difference. It's socialism, which believes that government has to grow and that government can, the ideology is that government can make things fair versus liberty. And that's really the difference. Because the liberty says you're free to make whatever decisions you want to make for any reason. Now, last night, remember I shared with you, I was out to dinner with my friend Ted Hughes and the couple that were sitting close to us. And we engaged in a conversation. And the guy, the husband, doesn't particularly like Trump, but he said something curious to me. We both caught both Ted and I, not off guard, but it shared with us. He said, "I like my 401k. Yeah. Okay, because Trump is doing what? Well, not just the Trump tax policy, folks, but it's the fact that Trump is undoing unnecessary, there's that word again, unnecessary regulations that hurt the economy, that hurt businesses. He's reversing so much of what was not only put in place by Obama, folks, but put in place by Bush. Yes, you heard me right. So, in the discussions about these things, talking about unnecessary regulation, talking about unnecessary taxation, it gets to the heart of cap and trade. Is it really necessary? If it's not going to make any difference in the world, why would you do it? If it's going to hurt people, why would you do that? And for what? There are some people that will respond to that. And even like the husband said, he didn't necessarily like the effect of the Trump. No, that's not poverty. It is.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Well, we got it figured out. I figured out why I can't hear people. And in a moment, I'm going to be chatting with all of you. Please hang on. Those of you that are on the line. In fact, it looks like we have full phone lines. I want to remind you that if you have some pain in your body, like I do from time to time, just because of my age and my old injuries and my activity levels, I use CBD products to help me manage that. And it works. I used some last night. I slept much better. It always works for me. Now, maybe it'll work for you. Maybe you ought to go talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down on South Commercial, South Salem, right next to Safeway. Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. They have a great website, Vim Salem. That's V-I-M, vimsalem.com. They sell CannaShield, which is a CBD product that is only sourced right here from Oregon, which has the highest standards. Believe me, I know. I grow CBD oil. I grow hemp for oil. And it is very, very stringent. You can be assured you're getting the best. And they have great products. It's where I buy mine. I think you ought to talk about buying your CBD products from them also. Again, Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. All right. Right to the phones. We'll start with our first caller. Caller, good morning. Now that I can actually hear you, who are you? What do you got to say?
It's Art, Jeff. Do you hear me?
I can hear you.
Holy crap. That was me all along, you know, that you kept connecting. But anyways, let me kind of go quickly because the situation with the cap and trade, everybody needs to know, and you and I both already know this, Jeff, that this cap and trade thing is the same thing that the Democrats have forced upon us, and that's their health care BS. And we will end up in the same shape if we allow them to pass this cap and tax. You remember what Nancy said, oh, we got to pass the bill, and then you'll know what's in it. Well, you know what's in it, folks? The administrative rules that will be put together by, like you said, the that one agency that'll do this will screw us all, and everybody out in the rural areas, you guys will be screwed no matter what. So remember what Dems do. Dems lie, and then they stick it to you, and that's just what's going on here. On the Trump thing, Jeff, real quick, yeah, Trump is starting to lean towards a short trial because we've already won, and so is a lot of the Republicans because we've already won, and they don't want to accidentally step in it. So I agree with them. Short thing, we've won. They can't remove Trump from office. So let's get on with doing the work for the American people, and I think that's what Trump has kind of decided he wanted to do.
All right, Art, thanks, brother. Appreciate your diligence in sharing your opinion and keeping calling in. That's Art. We're going to go to our next caller in just a moment here. You know, in following up what he said, the Real Clear Politics average of polls shows now that most Americans do not approve of impeachment. It goes right to what he said. We've won, but have we won big enough? I don't know. Let's go to our next caller. Caller, good morning. Who are you?
Danny.
Hey, good morning. Who are you?
Danny.
Hey, Danny.
Hey, so I'm just kind of curious. Has anybody done a real accurate study on what the percentage of tax on each person in Oregon is right now? And I'm not talking just like the typical tax. I mean, everybody knows what they get taxed on their income, on their property tax. I'm talking about all the hidden taxes added on to it.
No, there are some folks working on that, it's my understanding. And I think your point is well taken. People need to know what that is because, you know what, it's a lot bigger than what people think.
I also think once that study comes out, there should be something. What I do for work is a lot of prevailing wage jobs, and I see the waste daily, yearly, and it is phenomenal. And if people knew exactly how much these public projects, state projects cost, there might be some scrutiny to where they wouldn't happen. I mean, some of them are necessary, but people just think, oh, there's all these homeless people, there's all this these roads in disarray, there's all these schools in shambles. Let's just keep adding more tax. And people don't understand where the waste's at. And if they did, they might have a problem with it.
Well said. And Denny, I appreciate you calling in. First of all, listening, number one, and number two, sharing that story, because that's the real thing. What you're sharing with me is I have heard many times over the years, and until we fix that part of public policy, we're going to continue to have unnecessary spending and waste. Denny, thanks. Appreciate it. Let's go to our next caller. Good morning, caller. Who are you and what do you have to say today?
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Who are you?
This is Ann.
Hi, Ann.
Yeah. Jeff, there's an old saying that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And I really believe that we need to be that squeaky wheel. We need to continually be bringing our concerns before the Oregon Congress and Senate, and not just a few of us. I think everybody needs to be talking to their senator, talking to their Congress, writing them, whatever, and just, you know, keep bringing our concerns before them and let them feel the pressure from the people. We are the people. They're supposed to work for us, and we need to start putting the pressure on all of them to work for us, not for themselves, not for their own power and control, but for the people.
And sometimes, Ann, I will tell you from having served 8 years in the House of Representatives, sometimes the policy things you're talking about that are very controversial, and cap and trade is a great example of that, is something that you as a legislator may believe in very strongly, but you get a visceral, honest, very negative reaction from people, and it makes you rethink it. Now, it doesn't mean it necessarily going to change your mind, but boy, you don't just pass it willy-nilly, and that's what's about to happen here. They're going to try to ram this thing through, Ann, and that's why you're so right.
Exactly, and that's why we need to be making them, letting them know that we're aware of this, and we don't want them to just pass it through. We want them to fight this, and why we want them to fight it, and why we disagree with it, and what concerns we have.
And I'll tell you what, that is the best reason. Everything you've just articulated is exactly why everybody listening to me should plan on showing up at the state capitol on February the 6th. That's a Thursday. That's going to be the Big Timber Unity Rally, because this thing ain't going away, folks. They're going to try to do this. And if we do what Ann says, and she's right, the politicians will remain scared. This whole story that we've talked about today, about how they're trying to rewrite it so it's not so damaging, is a direct result of Timber Unity and others, farmers, and everybody coming new into the process who once finally have figured out they need to get active. So join us February 6th at the Capitol. I'm even thinking about doing a special broadcast from the Capitol that day. That might be kind of fun, Folks, thanks for joining us. I thanks to each and every one of you for listening and for participating. Sorry for my bad and the technological screw-up. Great to be with you today. We got a whole new week. There's going to be a lot happening, so stick with us, won't you? Be blessed. Talk to you tomorrow.